This is Radio Superior 1945, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1945. This is a true story of our past. Step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the head of the Great Lakes, Station KUWS. Jack McKenna broadcasting to you from the top of Old Main on the campus of Superior State Teachers College, reminding you that loose lips sink ships. It's 6 o'clock Central Standard Wartime, Sunday, February 11th, 1945. And this is our wedding show, folks. Before all you guys turn off the radio, we'll have the war news, too, and some advice for guys getting married. Lou Martin is standing by with the news of the most historic wedding in Superior's history, with reports from Harriet Farig and Sybil Marshall later in the show. The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by DeVink Matson Pontiac, urging you to sell your car to them to help war workers. Good evening, Lou. Some wedding yesterday, huh?
If you like that kind of thing. Good evening, Jack, and good listeners. Superior's greatest wedding is now history. The Big Three agree on control of Germany after the war at a meeting in Yalta. And the fight for Manila continues in an all-out battle. But first, Major and Mrs. Richard Bong are on their way to Sunny, California today for their honeymoon after a wedding yesterday. That wedding drew international news coverage. We begin with Superior Evening Telegram reporter Anna Mang. Good evening.
Good evening. All of Superior is echoing the sentiment expressed by the parents of the bride and groom that it's a little lonesome without Major and Mrs. Bong around. Things have quieted down considerably after all the thrills and hubbub of the famous ace pilot and his bride. Cameramen representing three major wire photo services and the nation's leading newsreel companies, as well as a throng of newspaper reporters, covered the joyous event. Fox Movietone, Pathé, Paramount, Universal, and Hearst newsreels were on hand. So were Associated Press, Acme, and International News Service photographers. Major Richard Bong insisted the ceremony begin at 7 o'clock sharp. Concordia Lutheran Church was packed at its 1,300 capacity, with hundreds more people waiting outside to get a glimpse of the couple. It was an assorted crowd, with bobby soxers and college girls wearing white dish towel scarves and babushkas around their necks, while others were formally attired with hat and gloved ladies and gentlemen in dark suits. The ceremony lasted 20 minutes. Then time was made for more photos and a nationwide radio broadcast from the Hotel Superior over a hookup with WLS. Major Bong told the radio audience that he was the luckiest man in the world. Quoting him now, "I've been through a lot and been lucky enough to come home, marry my girl, and plan a home of our own. I just want to say I'm thinking about those guys who weren't so lucky, but made it possible for guys like me to come home. To you guys overseas, I hope you can come home soon." Lou.
Anna Mang with the Superior Evening Telegram. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has a story about an Ashland soldier.
Thanks, Lou. An Ashland man who captured a Nazi staff car with two German officers inside has been awarded the Croix de Guerre. It's one of the highest awards given by the French government. 23-year-old Sergeant Henry Kegel has been listed as missing in action since October while in France. The Croix de Guerre is given for exceptional war services in the liberation of France. Mr. and Mrs. Chris Kegel of Ashland also have been notified that another son has been wounded in action. 26-year-old Private First Class Walter Kegel is in a hospital in Belgium. Two other Kegel brothers are in the service. Private First Class Ray of the Air Corps is at home on furlough, and Sergeant Dan Kegel is serving with a railroad battalion in Italy. Lou?
Mr. and Mrs. Carl Fernquist of Station B in Douglas County have been told that their son has been killed in action. 23-year-old Private First Class Bernard Fernquist was killed in action in Luzon January the 17th. Private Fernquist entered the Army May the 11th of 1942 and has served 27 months overseas, first in New Guinea and then in the Philippine campaign. He was in the Battle of Munda, Rendova, and the Rose Islands. He was also on the USS Coolidge when it was torpedoed. Yesterday, the War Department released a list of 2,552 men killed in action. Upper Wisconsin men included on the list are Private Leonard Gouget, whose sister Mary Katzmark lives in Superior, First Sergeant Ray Palmquist and Sergeant William Kiro, both of Saxon, Sergeant Edward Linton of Shell Lake, Sergeant William Mills of Hurley, Private First Class Thomas Perkins, and Private First Class Robert Eklund, both of Superior, Private Herbert Headland of Ashland, Corporal Clifford Mooney of Foxborough, and Sergeant Herbert Smiley of Danbury. No other information was released about these men. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:07, and Jack McKenna has this message from our sponsor.
Folks, here's a good one. Used cars are wanted. I'm sure that you have a used car somewhere, maybe sitting out in the lawn or in the garage, that you'd like to get rid of and get paid for. To cooperate with war workers who desperately need a car this winter, we are making every effort to provide them. So if you don't use your car but keep it in storage, why, sell it to us. DeVink Madsen, Pontiac Company, that's who. Authorized Pontiac sales and service. Broadway at John. Just phone 4642 for an appointment. Lou?
The Japanese are resisting bitterly in the battle for Manila in the Philippines. We begin our World Shortwave Radio Roundup from Manila.
This is Manila. Mac Johnson, your correspondent. Manila's Japanese resistance has shrunk to a triangle area between Manila Bay and the Pasig River. Major General Vern Mudge's 1st Cavalry Division has thrust deeply into southern Manila, the capital city and the last stronghold before victory can be declared in the Philippines. This is the ninth day of bloody fighting for the capital. Major General Robert Beitler's 37th Infantry Division fought through the residential area along Manila Bay in the face of withering Japanese artillery fire. Airborne 11th Division Yanks under Major General Joseph Swing are battling around Nichols Field in the southern part of the city. Meanwhile, sheets of flame spread over Corregidor Island. Apparently, American bombing runs have set off ammunition dumps at the historic fortress entrance to Manila Bay. Americans are now astride all of Luzon's main highways north of Manila. The rest of the Jap garrison is holed up in mountainous valleys of northeastern Luzon while some are trapped on the Bataan Peninsula. In Manila, this is Mac Johnson calling Regimental Command Post, downtown Manila.
This is Regimental Command, Fred Hemsen reporting. The enemy is placing guns in churches and homes. The carnage here is great. Infantry Commander Colonel Lawrence White of Kansas City, Missouri, said at his shell-battered command post that there seems no way to be able to save many of Manila's famous buildings. Quoting him now, the Japs are putting guns in homes and churches and hotels, and all we can do is blow them out with artillery. We are not going to send in unsupported infantry against guns, unquote. Colonel White says they took one church yesterday and found two machine guns at the altar. From tall buildings, the Japanese shell American positions. He called it the heaviest he ever saw. The fighting is so close, the Japanese are dressing as civilians and infiltrating American lines to scout locations. In downtown Manila, this is Fred Hampson. Calling Saipan, come in, Daryl Berrigan.
This is the Central Pacific. Daryl Berrigan reporting from U.S. bomber bases in Saipan. E-29 super fortresses are bombing the Japanese island of Iwo Jima, hitting it hard from bases in Saipan, Guam, and India. Major Charles Deacon Miller of Dexter, Missouri, says the formations look good today. The crew of his B-29, called Deacon's Disciple, flew the daring daylight raid on Iwo from the 21st Bomber Command. Iwo Jima has been bombed steadily since mid-December, and for the past 3 days has been thundered by the cookies dropped from these long-range bombs. This island is considered a prime area for the Allies. It has 3 air bases and is considered directly on the road to Tokyo, halfway between Japan and Saipan. On Saipan, this is Daryl Berrigan calling Europe. Come in, Max Jordan.
Hello, this is the Third Reich, Max Jordan reporting. The western German fortresses of Kleve and Priam, 115 miles apart, were captured today by the 1st Canadian Army and the American 3rd Army. Canadians pushed beyond the devastated Siegfried Line to capture this anchor city of Kleve, population 20,000. Meanwhile, perhaps more telling, General George Patton's 3rd Army is taking many German prisoners. That's not unusual in itself, but the caliber of these men is. Of the 4,000 soldiers captured today, most are teenage youth or infirmed men. Looking haggard and mentally flogged by the relentless bombing, many were gray-haired burghers of 40 to 55 years. They were exhausted and dazed and told their captors they believed this war was nearly over. In western Germany with the 3rd Army, this is Max Jordan calling the Russian Crimea. Come in, Eddie Gilmore.
The United States, Soviet Union, and Great Britain have agreed on enforcing unconditional surrender of Germany, creating a United Nations conference to keep world security after the war and to divide Germany into zones of occupation, allowing France to have a zone. This was just announced today at a secret Big Three conference held in this Russian Crimea city for the past 8 days. President Roosevelt, Prime Minister Winston Churchill, and Premier Joseph Stalin released the joint communique showing continued unity of the Allies. They also agreed to form a new independent Polish government, separate from the one in exile now, which has been at odds with Russia. They also promised new and even more powerful blows against Germany from the east, west, and south. The communique simply said Nazi Germany is doomed. Finally, the Big Three will hold a United Nations conference to set up a world organization. That meeting will be held in San Francisco on April 25th. In Yalta, this is Eddie Gilmore.
The Japanese cabinet has been reshuffled, according to Radio Tokyo. Premier General Koiso remains at the head of the government, but others have been dismissed. That coincides with the United States' conquest of the Philippines that will interfere with getting vital raw materials from the Dutch Indies to Japan. And finally, Jack, this note. Women may soon be drafted. Democratic Congressman May of Kentucky, head of the House Military Committee, is introducing a bill to draft nurses. The bill may be voted on this week.
You know, I've always wanted to draft nurse myself, Lou. I like nurses. Something about those white shoes and that little white hat, I guess. Thanks, Lou Martin, the best doggone radio newsman on the block. Let's check our forecast for this Sunday evening, February 11th, 1945. Light snow tonight and tomorrow and warmer. Today's high was 16 and tomorrow should get to 22, hot dog. It's music time, friends. Here's one for the newlyweds, Major and Mrs. Richard Bong. This is Abe Lyman and his Californians and for me and my gal on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Everybody's been knowing to a wedding they're going, and for weeks they've been sewing every Susie and Sam. They're congregating for me and my gal. The parson's waiting heaven for me and my gal. And sometime I'm gonna build a little home for two, or three, or four, or more. In Loveland for me and my gal.
Abe Lyman and his Californians friends for all those in wedded bliss. And me and my gal on station KUWS. Hey, here's some good news, folks. Builder Supply Company in Superior has just received a big shipment of batteries. They have flashlight batteries, 10 cents each, and dry cell batteries for just 39 cents. Get a battery for your lantern, just 59 cents. Builder Supply also has a sale on galvanized pails, 49 cents each. Builder Supply Company at 619 Tower Avenue, dial 3444. Well, on with the good time music, friends. Let's listen to this one from 1936 by Tommy Dorsey and his orchestra. Here's Song of India on the Martin and McKenna Show. Tommy Dorsey and his orchestra with Song of India.
Hey, Lou, I've got some advice for newly married men, just in case guys like Dick Bong need it.
First of all, he's probably doing fine. He's married to a smart, talented, beautiful woman, and is on his way to sunny California for his honeymoon. Secondly, considering your track record on well-meaning but misguided advice, I'd like to keep our female listeners.
But I've put a lot of thought into this, Lou.
Well, maybe later. You can tell the guys at the Black Cat Cafe who are single and pathetic in their women's skills. I'd like to introduce now, though, community editor Harriet Feurig and etiquette expert Sybil Marshall.
Let's vote on it. All in favor of hearing Jack's advice for the newly married man, say yay.
Yay! Sorry, Jack. Maybe later. Much later.
Say around 1965.
The nation's top ace flyer, son of the Carl Bongs of Superior, and Miss Marjorie Vattendahl, daughter of the Sigurd Vattendahls of Superior, were united in a glorious wedding 7 o'clock last night at Concordia Lutheran Church. A capacity crowd filled the church while Reverend Paul Bow conducted the ceremony.
Oh, and it was first class. The closest thing to a snafu, as the flyboys like to call it, was when Reverend Bow was giving the vows. Oh, and this was a hoot. He said to Marjorie, "Now repeat after me, I, Marjorie, take thee, Richard, to be my wedded husband." And Marjorie replied, "I, Marjorie, take thee, Richard, to be my lawful wedded husband."
That was so cute. The bride knowing her lines better than the pastor. Poor Reverend Beau.
What's so funny about that? I've got some real knee slappers.
Later. Play some more music now, and we'll continue our review of Superior's most historic wedding.
You guys are no fun at all. Besides, I think if Lewis ever married Harriet, now that would be historic. And here's one for all you sweethearts out there. This is Dick Haymes and Helen Forrest, and together, of course, on the Martin and McKenna Show.
We stroll the lane together, laughed at the rain. Sang love's refrain together, and we'd both pretend it would never end. One day we cried together, cast love aside. You're gone from me, but in my memory, we always will be together.
We stroll the lane together, laughed at the rain together. Sang love's refrain together, and we'd both pretend it would never end. Through storm and song together, our hearts as one together. Gone from me, but in my memory, we always will be together.
Thank you.
that great pair, Dick Hames and Helen Forrest, new on the 1945 hit parade and Together on station KUWS. Okay, Lou.
Harriet Farig and Sybil Marshall analyzed the marriage of Major Richard Bong and Marjorie Vattendall yesterday.
Well, everything about it was so classy.
Oh, I agree. And I've seen many a wedding in my time.
The guests were seated at the church by the Wisconsin National Guard in full dress uniform.
Oh, everything perfectly timed. It lasted exactly 20 minutes.
Marge's brother Jerome and Dick's friend Marvin Peterson began lighting the 42 candles precisely at 7 o'clock.
A setting of unusual beauty was formed by rows of white gladiolas and potted huckleberry interspersed between the candelabra sections. All of this graced the altar.
It was touching that the service flag was placed at the right of the altar. It bore the 7 gold stars of church members killed in the war and the 312 blue stars of Concordia Lutheran men and women in the service.
Miss Julianne Hansen of Grantsburg, in a gown of pink satin and chiffon, began by singing At Dawning and I Love Thee.
How wonderful. Marge's sorority sister, Miss Priscilla Greenwood of Barron, was the organist. She played Because and I Love You Truly to lead up to the ceremony.
Are they done yet, Lou?
Oh, Jack, really?
I'd say that they've still got a ways to go.
Well, perfectly posed and apparently heedless of the throng of photographers, the lovely bride entered the church on the arm of her father.
She whispered to her dad, "Everyone seems so nervous. Cute."
Oh, very cute. Oh. She held her head high in the serene way of a self-assured woman.
Her wedding gown of white ivory and lace was beautiful. She carried a bouquet of victory roses and wore the pearl necklace given to her by her bridegroom.
And for the traditional something borrowed, she wore jeweled sorority pin loaned to her by close friend, Miss Marjorie Flynn. The something blue was kept a secret by her sorority sisters until that very evening.
Those clever girls.
It was a blue satin garter.
Hubba hubba.
Jack!
No hubba hubba?
Not a good idea right now.
I know. Maybe in 1965.
And finally, for something old, she carried a 40-year-old Baton Bird handkerchief given to her by the major's maternal grandmother, Mrs. Glenn Bryce. We've got more about the wedding and reception, Jack, but now might be a good time for some appropriately lovely music.
I've got just the thing, ladies. Here's Bing Crosby and the Andrews Sisters.
Oh, they're wonderful.
And Is You Is or Is You Ain't, My Baby, on the Martin and McKenna Show. Okay, Harriet, your turn.
Oh, Jack, really?
I got a gal who's always late. Anytime we have a date, but I love her. Yes, I love her.
He's gonna walk up to my gate and see if he can get it straight, 'cause he wants her. Lately makes me doubt. Yous is still my baby, baby. Seems my flame in your heart's done gone out.
A woman is a creature that has always been strange. Just when you're sure of one, you find she's gone and made a change.
Is you is or is you ain't, my baby? Maybe baby's found somebody new. Or is my baby still my baby true?
Is you or is you ain't, my baby?
remarkable the way you're acting lately. It makes me doubt.
See here, who's been cutting me?
You steal my baby, baby, baby. Baby boy, it seems my flame in your heart's done gone out.
Blackout. A woman is a creature that has always been strange. Just when you're sure of one, you find she's gone and made a change and took my change.
Is you is or is you ain't my baby. Maybe baby's found somebody new.
Maybe baby's found somebody.
Is my baby still my baby?
Bing Crosby and the Andrews Sisters, another new one from the 1945 hit parade, and Is You Is or Is You Ain't My Baby. So far, this wedding stuff has been about nothing but women.
Well, now Lewis has some information about the best man.
His name is Captain Walter Markey of Sydney Island, New York. He and Major Vong have been friends since they flew overseas together in May of 1942. They served together until November 1943, when Major Vong had his first leave. They flew in the same P-38 squadron on missions over New Guinea. Captain Markey has 4 Jap planes to his credit.
And except for mentioning the groom's 3 younger sisters, Joyce, Sue, and Barbara, dressing alike in girlish Delphi blue frocks with Rome Glory rose corsages, I think we're done here, Hare.
Done? But that still leaves us a couple of minutes to fill.
Isn't there something else, ladies?
Well, the wedding cake was donated by Butler Shipyards. It was the shape of a big ship. Kind of tacky, really.
Anything else?
My mind's a complete blank.
Jack's turn. Advice for newly married men.
Oh.
First, you must realize that Mother let you get away with stuff that your wife won't. Second, your significant female in your life is not your mom. Women see crumbs at 100 times magnification and in pairs.
Fourth, women can smell things that men cannot.
Ah, that's the spirit, Lou. Fifth, get a dog, because if there's an odor in the room, you can blame the dog.
2 can play this game. What's the difference between a boyfriend and a husband?
30 pounds.
On the other hand, never ask your wife if she's gained weight.
Men, showers are meant to be cleaned before mold and mildew appear.
Well, we're out of time, folks, thankfully. Stay tuned for The Lone Ranger, Cavalcade of America, and Burns and Allen. But we'll be back, same time, same place on your radio dial. That's a warning, the good Lord willing. For Lou Martin, then, the best of luck to the newlyweds everywhere. Hey, Lou, you know what I do since I'm not married?
Anything you want to.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1945, an original weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Harriet Fahrig is played by Jennifer Simonson. Other performances by Paul Guggenheimer, Duke Skorich, Joel Anderson, Joey Laporte. All events reported on Radio Superior 1945 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week for more Radio Superior. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.